In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord says, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and that of myself I do nothing, but even as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things." At the beginning of our Lenten program of sermons, I reminded you of the four senses of Scripture and encouraged you to be attentive to these things throughout the masses of Lent. Every day, we can consider the literal sense and the spiritual sense, which is divided into three. With the literal sense, we consider the facts. What isn't being recounted? What historical facts? What is simply being stated here in the inspired word? With regard to the spiritual sense, then, we consider the allegory, always asking the question, where in this Mass today do I find the church? For we consider the Old Testament giving way to the New, which is the church. And then also, we will see this especially this week, with the question, where is the church? There's also every year the question, where is the church today? That just as the Old Testament, the people thereof, proved unfaithful, and so it gave way to the New, so too we must ask whether we, as faithful of the New Testament, as members of the church, are being faithful, and whether, if we are not, our places too will give way to those of others. That leads us then to the moral sense. We can always ask, where do I find my own soul in today's Mass? How does it apply to how I should be acting and reforming my life here and now? Which then also leads to the anagogical sense, where we ask every day, where do I find eternity in today's Mass? Sometimes one sense is more prevalent than others on a given day. And today I wish to take a moment to speak to you especially about the literal sense of what we hear today. So I will simply put to you a question, rhetorical, of course, and then just answer it. Who is Daniel? For we are told here that a prayer was made by Daniel, and this makes up the epistle of today's Mass. Daniel was someone whom we reckon as a prophet, because our Lord Jesus Christ himself calls him a prophet and says that he is fulfilling the prophecy of Daniel. This is true even though the Jews did not exactly reckon him as one of the prophets. He was, in fact, an ancestor of our Lord, not a direct one, but of the house of Judah, and so part of the family of our Lord Jesus Christ, and was one of the first to be taken into the Babylonian captivity. And so the prophecies of Daniel were uttered some 600 years before the time of our Lord. The name Daniel means the judgment of God. What is important to note then about today's passage is that it comes from the celebrated ninth chapter of Daniel, which is perhaps the most famous of all the passages to be found in the very mysterious book of Daniel. It is important not simply to open up the book of Daniel and read it by yourself without a guide. It needs to be carefully taught, as it is, by the fathers of the church and the whole of tradition. Indeed, many of the heresies we find today come from groups who simply open the book of Daniel and interpret it for themselves. What is important to remember then is that this ninth chapter comes after the prophecies that have been made concerning the kingdoms that will reign in the world. We are living now here at the moment of the Babylonian captivity, which lasts 70 years. Our whole season, in fact, that we are celebrating now can be tied to this idea of the 70 years of Babylonian captivity, which is the idea we had on Septuagesima Sunday, that we are in the captivity of sin now, from which we must be delivered. And so the first thing we hear about is of the four kingdoms. There's the Babylonian kingdom, which will give way to that of the Persians, then that of the Greeks, and then finally that of the Romans, which will endure in some form, even as it crumbles, until the end of time. What we have, though, here, if we read just a few verses before the passage we have in today's Mass, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, who reigned over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years concerning which the word of the Lord came to Jeremias the prophet, that 70 years should be accomplished of the desolation of Jerusalem. This refers, of course, to the Babylonian captivity. And Daniel continues, I set my face to the Lord my God to pray and make supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. It is at this moment, then, in this spirit, that he offers this prayer to Almighty God, which we can very much make our own and meditate upon today, where he prays, saying that we do not trust anything in our own merits, anything that we have done as far as works of righteousness, but no, we pray at this time of penance to our God, trusting only in the multitude of his tender mercies. Our epistle then comes to a conclusion as he prays for the sinful people of Israel who now find themselves in captivity, and then says, while I was yet speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sins of my people of Israel, presenting my supplications in the sight of my God for the holy mountain of my God, behold, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, flying swiftly, touched me at the time of the evening sacrifice. It is at this moment, then, when he says the man Gabriel, he means the angel Gabriel, who has appeared to him in the form of a man. And it is very noteworthy for us that it is the angel Gabriel who speaks to Daniel. For, of course, we will not hear from Gabriel again until he appears to the Blessed Virgin Mary in the Gospel of St. Luke to announce the birth of our Lord. That is, of course, after he has appeared as part of the same prophecy to Zacharias to announce the birth of John the Baptist. He is the great angel of the Incarnation. And so Daniel is the great prophet of the Incarnation. For what Gabriel then announces at this moment to Daniel is the prophecy of the 70 weeks. That is, in this celebrated passage of the book of Daniel, the angel Gabriel will announce to Daniel the precise time of the coming of the Anointed One, his death, and then finally the destruction of the temple, which shall have been rebuilt by this time. It is thanks to the book of Daniel as well that we have the mysterious title which our Lord applies to himself so often in the Gospel, the Son of Man. This is in fact what we hear from our Lord in today's Gospel when he says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Our Lord will apply to himself this title which he gets from Daniel, Also, at the moment of the Passion, when he declares, indeed fulfilling the exact words of Daniel, before his accusers, "You shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and majesty." Our Lord is making clear at every moment that the fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel is at hand. And unlike the time of Daniel, where a holy man such as he made prayer and supplication on behalf of the sinful people, Israel, in this time, no, our Lord declares that they will remain in their blindness. They will not accept him who has come as the fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel. And so he says they will die in their sins. Of course, we can understand this in a moral sense, and we could have an entire sermon on this subject as well, and how we understand these words of our Lord, "You shall die in your sins." If I recall correctly, our preacher last year preached on that very theme. That yes, we apply it to ourselves in the sense that if we do not reform our lives now, being inspired by the penance and prayer of the prophet Daniel, we too shall die in our sins. But our Lord here is also speaking of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel, that indeed, not only the individual Jews of the time who do not accept him, but indeed the Jewish nation as a whole will die in its sins, because not accepting him who has come as the anointed one in fulfillment of Daniel, they and their entire nation and their temple will be destroyed, as is in the fulfillment of the final words of the prophecy of Daniel. Only, in fact, when he is lifted up, he says, will they finally understand who he is. And at every moment of this passage, as he does so often in John's Gospel, our Lord says, "Then you shall know that I am he." In fact, in the text, it simply says, "Then you shall know that I am." Again and again, applying to himself the very divine name, "I am," which means simply the Lord. It is the unspeakable divine name. When he is lifted up, of course, refers to the fact that he will be lifted up on the cross. This cross, which is the sign of the Son of Man, as our Lord tells us in Matthew's Gospel, is what will appear in the heavens when at long last the prophecy of Daniel will be fulfilled in the year 70 AD, immediately before the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple. Indeed, the sign of the Son of Man did appear in the heavens before the Roman armies came to destroy the Jewish nation and bring the Old Testament forever to a close. We should nevertheless conclude this meditation today by making our own the words of the prophet and applying to ourselves the moral lesson that now is a time for humble supplication, declaring with the prophet, "It is not for our own justifications that we present our prayers before thy face, before the multitude of thy tender mercies. O Lord, hear and be appeased. Hearken and do, delay not for thy own sake, O my God, because thy name is called upon thy city, upon thy people, O Lord our God. Amen."